Good morning, Yucaipa Church. It's a joy for my wife and I to be here with you today. And looking out, I see familiar faces. I even see representation from Redlands Adventist Church today, of which I, by the way, my second hat that I wear, I'm senior ministries pastor for the Redlands Church. And have been for a number of years. So that keeps me busy trying to be semi-retired. As my granddad said, Pastor J.L. Tucker, he said, "Grandson, you only retire to bed at night." So I'm learning a little bit more of what that means. And somebody else told me recently, and I've been sharing that too, you know, retirement is not in the Bible. So, as we focus the day, 2 days after Thanksgiving, you survived it? Do you know that 25 million Americans risked getting on an airplane to go to family for this special day? And then yesterday, people risked Black Friday. That's one day I try to avoid, for sure. I ask you this morning, have you really ever taken a risk? How many have taken risks in your life? We all have. Somebody said, "I took a risk just getting out of bed today." Do you know that over 46 years ago, I actually took a risk, and one full moon night, I asked my, who is now my wife of 45 years, if she would marry me. And I'm glad I took that risk. She said yes. Plus 30 years, I have been taking risks along with my wife, who we together have gone in on many, many overseas excursions, mission trips, evangelistic endeavors, weeks of prayer. It's a risk every time you do get on an airplane and go overseas. It's a risk when you go into many countries to share the good news of the gospel. And I'll be sharing a story or two with that in mind. But I ask you this morning, as you think about taking a risk, have you risked for the gospel? There is a key passage that was so ably shared by Brendan this morning already. I would invite you to look at that passage again, Acts 20, verse 24. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says this, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus." The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. I would like for you to put your own name in that passage. And I want to share it again. But Bill's life is worth nothing to Bill unless Bill uses it for finishing the work assigned Bill by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Think about that. Put your own name in that passage. Does that passage become more meaningful to you as you reflect upon what God has placed upon your life, your mind, your heart today? Here we are, 2013. entering into the last month of this year, what has God placed upon your heart with regards to the gospel, and what risk are you willing to take for His sake and for His glory? I believe that what Paul is saying here is very important. I believe that Paul's life was to be focused upon finishing the work that God had placed upon him. He did it passionately, as passionately as he had done earlier in persecuting the Christians, those who were seeking to follow God. His work of telling the good news of the gospel, of the grace that had been so abundantly bestowed upon him in Jesus Christ, this grace that had transformed his life. And he became a mighty spokesperson, and at the risk of his own life, to share God's good news. Indeed, he did. I reflect upon what he himself said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Notice it says, I know I sound like a madman. And then he goes on to say, I am more, again I'm reading from New King James this time, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Can you imagine being willing to take those kind of risks, to be in those kinds of environments for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Can you see yourself going through those kinds of experiences? This morning I'm going to be very frank. I'm going to challenge you, because God has challenged me. And so what I have to share with you is simply what I believe that God is asking every one of us to really consider. And are you ready to take those kinds of risks for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? The reality and the truth is, my friends, is that here in America we've become very soft, have we not? And we enjoy the good life. And our ultimate goal, let's face it, our ultimate goal has been avoiding discomfort, loss, pain, anxiety at all costs. In fact, this has become the standard of success. We want to retire with no worries. We want to be on easy street. And we just want to retire comfortably, don't we? Don't we? Isn't that the truth? I believe it is. But to be a sold-out, committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, consider the very words of Jesus when he said, in Matthew 24, verse 9 and 10, they're going to throw you to the wolves and kill you. They're going to throw you to the wolves and kill you, everyone hating you because you carry my name. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, how does this line up with our predecessors, those who have taken risks, those who have been sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, if you look at the list of disciples who were committed to the mission of Christ, who were willing not to compromise in their faith, and who were willing to put their lives on the line for Him, we're told that James was put to death with the sword, likely a reference to beheading. History says that Peter was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross in Rome. Matthew was killed by the sword. John boiled in a huge basin of boiling oil, but miraculously delivered from death to be sentenced to the mines on the prison island of Patmos. He died an old man and the only apostle to die peacefully. James, the brother of Jesus, was thrown from the southeast pinnacle of the temple over 100 feet down, and when he refused to deny his faith in Christ, they discovered that he survived this fall. And what happened next? His enemies beat him to death with a club. Bartholomew, known as also as Nathanael, a missionary to Asia, was martyred for his preaching in Armenia, being beaten to death by a whip. Andrew crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece after being whipped severely by 7 soldiers. They tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. He continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he was killed, or until he died. The Apostle Thomas spread the word in southern Asia, was stabbed to death with a spear in India. Matthias, the apostle chosen to replace the traitor Judas Iscariot, was stoned and then beheaded for his faith. Philip, the evangelist, he came in contact with hostile Jews who tortured him in Phrygia, and then they had him crucified. Simon the Zealot, he was crucified by the order of the governor of Syria in 74 AD. Thaddeus was beaten to death with sticks in Mesopotamia. That's quite a list, isn't it? They were willing to take risks for the gospel. And for those early Christians, well, they died in the Colosseum many times. God's people were ready to stand for their faith no matter what. Whether they were crucified, burned at the stake, martyred by lions, it didn't matter, because they were willing to give up their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. He meant that much to them. What about us today? How many have gone out to a restaurant? Could I see your hands? How many of us are a little bit shy in praying openly with around us people who might be watching us? The other day, my wife and I, who are in the habit of praying openly before we eat and asking God's blessing, little did we realize that there was a group sitting at a table just adjacent to us, and they watched what we were doing. One lady came up, and she stood at our table, and she was weeping. She was choked up, And she says, you don't know how much that meant to me to see you pray openly. That does something when you hear people saying such things as that. But you know, the reality is for many of us, we want comfort, we want quiet, we want calm, we want no pain. We want to be stress-free, do we not? But I guarantee you that if you're willing to take risks for the gospel, if you want to grow in faith, I guarantee you will do it in the crucible of trial and affliction and taking risks for the gospel. Yes, if you want to experience walking on water, as Peter did, if you want to see life from death, if you want to see multiplication in numbers, if you want to see the sun stop, if you want to see healings take place, if you want to see whole cities change, I guarantee you'll be taking risks for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? How many of us settle for tradition, for safety, settling for the mundane? We're creatures of habit. We'll go home today the way we came, right? Most likely we will. We are creatures of habit. We learn to groove a certain way. I would challenge you. Try a different way today, just to be different. We eat the same way at a restaurant. We go to many times the same restaurants, do we not? Yes, we do. Take a chance. A chance to think outside the box, outside of your comfort level, and see what happens. Start an outreach. Volunteer for a new ministry here at the church. Take a risk. See what God can do through you. I guarantee you it'll be an exciting journey. Are you willing to take those kind of risks for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know, there is a ministry of the Redlands Church that has actually grown tremendously. Many churches now are participating, and not just Adventist churches. Helping Hands Pantry now serves over 9,000 people a month. Yes, 9,000 people a month. But it took a risk to get started. And there have been many challenges along the way. But I guarantee you, those who were responsible, who were willing to step out in faith, it is an amazing thing what is happening now as people are being ministered to every single day of the year. It is an amazing thing to realize and to experience. You know, as we think about Jesus, and before he went back to the Father, some of the last words he said to his disciples were these. And by the way, Helping Hands Pantry in action. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." And I ask you the question, are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a leading question. Because a true disciple of Jesus is more than just a follower of Jesus. A true disciple of the Lord Jesus is one who is willing to walk the talk of Jesus. A true disciple of Jesus is one who's going to reflect him to the masses of people, no matter whom you're going to meet. A true disciple of Jesus is willing to risk all for his sake and for his glory. You know, Jesus first says to us, come. Come with all of your frailties, all of your weaknesses. And he says, I will place my yoke upon you. I'll make your burden light. He tells us, first of all, to come to him just as we are. And I have shared that beautiful news with hundreds of thousands of people over the last 45 plus years now. And it's a joy to encourage people to come to him. But that's only part of the equation. After he says, come to me just as you are, I will transform you. I will change you. Then he says, go. Go. Go into all the world. Go down that street. Go to that restaurant and share with others. Go, he says. You know, I've been challenged many times by what Jesus said. I am challenged by what I read and find in Scripture. For in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16, it says, speak ye everyone the truth to his neighbor. God wants us to know the spiritual temperature of every single person on our street. And that has challenged me. It really has. There are other passages that challenge me as well. You know, it was Sir Francis Drake, the English seaman, while on a voyage around the globe, and he took a big risk when he went around the globe. In 1577, he penned the following. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because they have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we have sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. This we ask in the name of our Captain, Jesus Christ. It was J.B. Phillips who wrote a paraphrase of the Bible who said, perhaps if we believe what they believed, we would achieve what they achieved. So I ask you again, when was the last time you took a risk for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Let me show you a few things that God has helped us in taking risks for Him. A few years ago, we went to a city that has the fourth largest Hindu temple in the world, a city called Thiruvanamalai. We did not know when we arrived in that city that this was a stronghold of militant Hinduism. Little did we realize at the time that we were the first foreign evangelists to set foot inside that city to preach the good news of the gospel. When we realized why we were there and we were the first ones, I can assure you, I was trembling inside. And I prayed to God that He would give me the courage and the strength, as well as everyone else who was a member of our team, as they went out from Thruv Anomaly to different places to also hold their meetings. It was an amazing thing. Because God says, I will put words in your mouth. I will teach you what you will say. And it was an amazing thing what took place. Opening night, we had about 800 Hindus coming to our meeting. Right there in Thruv Anomaly. One of those individuals was a man by the name of Alamar. He was contracted as a truck driver to bring people to our meetings. And there you can see how they bring people to the meetings. Little did we realize that Alamar became so entranced and enthralled and just excited about hearing about Jesus for the first time. Do you know that there are places around planet Earth that have never heard the name of Jesus? And Thruv Anomaly was one of those places. The children, 200 plus children nightly hearing about Jesus. Their parents and those who were in the meetings that I was preaching to, they were hearing about Jesus. Alamar, he was just taking it all in, and he got so excited, he went back to his village that was not being worked by Bible workers, and he began knocking as a Hindu, going door to door in his village and telling them they needed to come to our meetings, telling them about Jesus that he'd heard for the first time. Can you imagine a Hindu doing that? He was doing it. He was doing it under the unction of the Holy Spirit. He was taking a risk, yes. But here he was doing it. Do you know we came to that village? Right in the center of that village is a community center, right next to the Hindu temple. And we were sharing Jesus right there in the midst. And it was an exciting time. There we saw things happening. Do you know it was Jesus who said, most assuredly I say unto you, the works, or he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. I tell you, that passage has challenged my thinking for years. Now after our meetings, people would come forward for prayer. There was a man that was literally being helped down to the front. He could not walk. And I prayed for him. And the next night I prayed for him. And the third night I prayed for him. And they kept coming. Do you know what happened the fourth night? He and his wife came running literally down the aisle before the meetings ever began. They came up on the platform and they began to praise the God of heaven as Hindus for healing this man. We were seeing demonstrated in that very place. These people who are religious people, they have simple faith. And God was rewarding their coming forward. And the simple prayer that was prayed, God, your will be done. May they see a demonstration of your power. And God did it. Demons were cast out of people right there in that place. People's lives were changed. A Hindu priest, a Brahmin priest, was baptized in those meetings. 1,500 Hindus became Christians, Seventh-day Adventist Christians. 38 villages in that area now have Seventh-day Adventist churches. Praise God. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Are you willing to take those kind of risks to see the power of God work through you? He can do that, you know, if you are willing to put it to the test. Take Takoradi, Ghana, another place. I'd never been there before. I found out that this was a seat of demon worship and demon possession. And all sorts of things were happening there. One night a man came forward. He opened his chest. He'd come for prayer. His chest was just loaded with boils. And I could tell he was in great pain. I told him, I'm no healer, but God is. And I just simply prayed a prayer of faith. And that night, I went to my bed. He went to his. The next night, when he came, he was beaming. Should I have been surprised when he opened his shirt again and there were no boils? Should I have been surprised? I was. My faith was small. God rewarded that man's faith. And I guarantee you, things began to happen and things changed in that place. It's the only place I have ever been to where every Wednesday, conference office officials are praying over people who come off the streets and want to be delivered from demons. An 18-year-old girl by the name of Vida was being prayed over earnestly. And I was in the same room and I was trembling because there were screams and voices coming out of her, and they were screaming and they demanded. These individuals that were praying over her had such tremendous faith, and they had the power of God. They demanded those demons speak in English for our sake. And they were screaming out, we hate what you're doing. She belongs to us. Do not anoint her. Do not pray over her. And they continued to pray. And then when she fell flat on her face, stiff as a board, I thought she was dead. But in a few seconds, they helped her up, put her on the seat, and they asked her, what did you see? She said, I saw a great light come into me. They said, yes, you saw the Holy Spirit coming into you. And the unholy spirits left. Praise God, I witnessed the baptism among hundreds and hundreds. Yes, thousands were baptized in those meetings. The power of God was manifest. Individuals under the unction of the Holy Spirit were willing to take risks for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To recognize that greater is He that is within us than he that's in the world. Are you willing to take such risks? One last place I want to talk about. I've never ceased to be amazed that no matter where we go on planet Earth, God has a message to declare to not just the masses of people, but He puts us in environments and situations that we know not of. But God is in control, and He'd gone before us. There was a businessman who owned a fishing fleet, the second largest fishing port in all of the Philippines was right there in General Santos. We were there in March of this year. And I had the opportunity to not only visit with this businessman who had recently become an Adventist convert, but he had hundreds and hundreds of workers. He called me to his boat, and there at the top there where the captain's wheel is, he had many chairs lined up, and soon there were about 15 men, hard-working men that came on board that boat. And then he turned to me and he said, "What are you going to say to them?" I'd never seen them before. Do you know that God put words in my mouth at that very moment in time? I didn't want to say those words because they were risky words. They were bold words. But the words of Jesus, "He that believeth and is baptized will be saved." And I just simply asked them, I turned to each of them and I said, "Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?" Everyone raised their hand. And then the Lord prompted me to do something that I don't normally do. I said, "Men, God is prompting me, and I don't know why, but God is prompting me to ask you this question. How many of you would like to prepare for baptism?" Do you know that they all stood to their feet? Right then and there. I took a risk. And God delivered. He really did. Because Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized will be saved." It was an amazing experience to take that kind of risk and to see what God did. And then to see the hundreds and thousands of people that were assembled together to hear the good news of the gospel, and to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to see thousands go down into the watery grave of baptism. Do you know that to date, because we've had many Bible workers working with hundreds and thousands of people, do you know that over 8,800 people have now been baptized in that city of General Santos and the surrounding areas where our teams were holding meetings? It's just an incredible thing what is happening in the world today under the blood-bought banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? For His sake, for His glory. But talk about risks. The greatest risk taker ever is Jesus Christ, who is willing to come down from heaven, risk it all for the sake of humanity. And then to place that burden upon each one of us. And you see that girl there who's saying, "Who, me?" Jesus says, "I took a risk for you. Now you, if you're going to be a follower of me, you take a risk for me." Yes, he was willing. He paid the ultimate price as a risk taker because he loved you with an everlasting love. And I ask you today, again, do you love Him enough? Are you willing to take those kinds of risks for His sake, for His glory? If so, would you stand to your feet? Now, it's easy for us to stand to our feet when everybody else is standing. I have one last question to ask. And for that, I'm going to step down today because I'm an evangelist for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be so bold today. And whether somebody comes forward or not, We're standing to our feet for His sake, for His glory. There may be some of us here who've only been playing church. We know our lives. We know what we want, what we need to do. Just remember, the Lord gave up everything for you. What I would like today is if there is someone who by coming forward will say, Lord, you can count on me. I'm willing to risk it all for you. There may be someone here today who for the first time wants to say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you with all my heart. There may be some here who may have come here to church for the first time in months or years. I don't know who you are. And God's calling you to come to Him. If so, just come here in the quietness of this place.
I would like to tell what I'm working on for God.
We'll see if we have that kind of time, okay?
Okay.
All right. And it'd be an exciting thing for the pastor here to probably hear from your lips, and if not in this service, in another service, okay? All right. In the quietness of this place, is there anybody else who'd like to come forward? God knows your heart. He knows where we stand with Him. If you can make it 30 seconds, just share it with the group.
I'm working on reviving the Loma Linda Community Gardens for the sake of God and led by Jesus Christ.
All right. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else who feels the prompting of God in your life today? And you recognize that, yes, you need to take those risks for His sake and His glory. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the power. I've seen it demonstrated too many times. Anybody else? Let's just bow our heads. Father, we're thankful that you risked it all for us. We're thankful that you've given us an opportunity to take risks for your sake. And those who've gone before us, as we stand on their shoulders, who were willing to risk it all for you and also paid the ultimate price. Father, we know that we're in the closing hours of Earth's history, and you're wanting to count on your followers in these last days to be willing to stand up for you. There's a great world out there, a world that needs to know you and to know your love. But there is also a world all around us where we live. And it may start in our own homes and then emanate out into our neighborhood, places where we work, places where we eat, places where we frequent. They need to know you as well. Father, give us that courage to press on. Give us the courage to move forward for you, to get out of our comfort zones. And Lord, we thank you for these who've come forward. Seal every decision, Lord, in your record books of heaven. And may we go forth rejoicing this day, thankful, ever thankful for your grace that gives us the power and the grace that not only forgives us, but sets us free in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.